Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's very exciting show. We're excited to have expanded the leadership team presence on our segment today at Shift HR. In addition to founder Catherine Nuck Freeman, we have a special guest from Shift HR, Rachel Friedberg, their Director of Human Resources and Organizational Development. Rachel has 20 years of executive strategic leadership experience in HR, and we're really excited to welcome her to the show. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Laura Alley. I'm the president of Triple Win Sales, and we are super excited today to bring you, a very top-of-mind episode. The subject is top grading as a recruitment strategy and how to use it to eliminate unconscious bias throughout the organization when you're hiring and building your organizations out to that next level. So welcome to the show, Catherine and Rachel. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you. We're really excited to be here. Thanks, Laura.
So recruiting and recruitment is one of the most important keys to an organization's success. As employment attorneys and professionals, how often do your clients seek your advice on this subject when they're building out their organization?
You know, hiring is often an issue, whether it's hiring in the context of employers wanting to train their employees and their managers to make sure they're always asking the right questions, to whether they get themselves into situations where they've brought somebody on board who is not the performer that they expected that person to be, and then they need assistance with a termination. It always comes up in one way or another. From my perspective as an employment lawyer, Rachel's, of course, is a different perspective. She's head of human resources, so she heads up the recruiting for the law firm Nuck Freeman & Sarah, and so she's regularly involved in recruiting, whether it's for attorney staff.
Right, when we're ramping up, when we're reshuffling things internally, when we're growing, when we're understaffed, so it comes into play quite frequently.
I remember back when I got my first promotion to sales manager from sales rep, someone once told me, a bad hire turns into being a bad employee, and it turns into being a bad fire. And that always resonates with me because I think it's so true. So I loved the book Top Grading. I actually read it by Bradford Smart, and I know that's one of the subjects that you wanted to talk about today, because when you use top grading as a recruitment strategy, it also helps eliminate unconscious bias to a certain degree, and that's a subject matter where you guys are thought leaders and experts on, I know, as you're working with your clients. So what do you think about the top grading practice, and what did you guys think about the book?
You know, the book was really helpful. We implemented it at Nuck Freeman & Sarah about a year ago, and it really helped us to provide a much more strategic approach to recruiting. I like your saying before about the bad hire leads to the bad fire. And, what top grading does is it provides a holistic approach to hiring. So instead of just having a knee-jerk reaction when somebody leaves and feeling like you need to fill that seat in that position as soon as possible, it forces you to take a step back and really think about things and what your needs are before you are recruiting. So the strategy focuses on identifying candidates who drive success in three key areas of an organization: satisfying the immediate need of the empty seat, embodying the corporate culture, and contributing to the organization's long-term goals. By thinking and planning strategically up front about the position you're looking to fill, the specific requirements of a role, and really creating a systematic, formalized approach to recruiting, you save a lot of time and money in the process, and especially on the back end if you're ever in a situation where you end up hiring the wrong person and they're not the right fit, and then you have to fire them.
And Laura, you know, my perspective is, as a business owner, as an employment attorney, as a trainer, is that's exactly right. We want to encourage our clients and businesses to put all that time and energy and strategy in on the front end to make sure they get the best possible person in the seat, because then they'll save, not only will they save themselves time and money down the road managing a potential performance issue or a potential firing, but they'll get somebody who really is going to exceed and move to the next level within the organization. And it's interesting, I think the statistics quoted by Top Grading is that a normal hiring process may yield you a 25% chance of getting the best person into the seat, whereas if you use the Top Grading method, you're likely to be in the high 80s in terms of the percentage chance of getting the best candidate into the right seat.
That is a big jump in success percentages, so that's very interesting to me. So one of my colleagues, Maureen Ennis, who I think you've met, she does a process called benchmarking a role when she helps business leaders recruit, and it's based on the Top Grading model. So taking the time, and that's building up what you guys are saying, taking the time to define what the role is requiring and what the attributes are extremely important in documenting. But what's interesting to me is the second point you made, Rachel, about the culture, because I think that's tougher, at least with the CEOs that I work with, it's tougher to remember that in the recruitment process of how important that is, that you have some type of process that attracts people that will fit in with the culture. And I would think, and I'm no expert in this area, but the better you are with that, the better you have with employee relations and morale down the road, right? Would you guys agree? The culture piece of it?
Absolutely.
And it's interesting. So, I'm always really careful as somebody who's really trying to structure around and avoid unconscious bias. I usually don't focus on the word fit, but I focus on the word culture and core values. So I think I think to the extent employers really focus on getting the right person into the seat that shares the core values and would flourish within the culture of the organization is such a good way of looking at it.
Right. And I know go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, just to build on that, when you work with the Top Grading strategy, actually one of the steps in the interview process is to really design your interview questions around core values and culture so that you can try to assess whether the behaviors and the style of the candidate is a match for your culture.
That's a really good piece of advice, I think, because I think that's the piece that a lot of people have challenges with and that they might omit in their recruiting processes. So what is it about, we've spoken about unconscious bias in the past on some of our past episodes, and we always get a lot of follow-up questions from our listeners on that subject. What do you think specifically about utilizing the Top Grading process in recruiting helps with eliminating specific instances of unconscious bias later on throughout the organization?
So I think there are a number of things that really are part of the Top Grading process that help cut against the unconscious bias. It's everything from the structured and strategic questions that the employer would really put together beforehand, and the fact that the similar questions are asked of similarly situated candidates. So you don't have one interviewer who's going to throw softballs up to one candidate who walks in the door because they hit it off. They both played the same sport in college or both went to the same university or from the same town. Instead, you have consistent questions being asked consistently across a category of employees. And then you also oftentimes include a panel of interviewers. So you may, for example, have one interviewer who, if left to their own devices, would exhibit what we call affinity bias. It's a type of unconscious bias, but if, for example, I were interviewing a candidate and we happened to both be young single moms, I'm none of those things. I'm not single or young anymore. But if I were to be interviewing a candidate and we were both young single moms, we might hit it off immediately. And I, as the interviewer, might be a little bit more relaxed and gregarious and lean forward during the interview and really cause that applicant to be really at ease. And they're more relaxed and more gregarious and more open with their responses. And we may both leave that interview thinking, we just had an amazing interview. That person would just fit in perfectly here. I've got to give her the job. when in reality, she might not have been the best person for the position because I probably didn't get to nearly all the qualifications I needed to get to in the discussion because I was distracted by similarities or affinity biases. And if we had a panel interviewing the individual, that would have kept us a little bit more honest. And even if I might have had one type of an affinity, if she didn't have that same connection with the other person, it would cause the interview to be a little bit more objective and focused on the types of things that the interview really needed to focus on in order to assess whether we have the most qualified person for the position.
So just a follow-up question to that. When you say panel, do you mean like several people interviewing the candidate at the same time? Or do you mean one person interviews and then goes to the next person and then the next?
So Kath is referring to having several people interview have a joint interview, two or three people in each interview. And when you when you work using top grading, there are four different types of interviews that they use throughout the process. And the philosophy is that those four distinct type of interviews, which each focus on a different aspect of the candidate or the culture or experience, when they are all brought together, you're really getting a holistic view of the person. And by tag teaming or having a panel within the interview, it really does keep you honest. And, you know, in addition to trying to eliminate any bias, I think it also helps because people hear different things. And so you might have different interpretations of how somebody responded, and so to try to really narrow it down and make sure that you're understanding every aspect of the candidate.
So I think that's a very powerful piece of advice and a good takeaway for our listeners, because I was just going back in my own memory, and I can't remember the last time any of the clients that I worked with utilized that panel approach to interview a candidate. They would have one person interview, and then they would go in the next office, et cetera, which is why I have the question. So I do think that's a really good takeaway for our listeners out there to kind of think through that. Are there any other strategies or strategic advice you could give the listeners out there that can help them not only keep unconscious bias at a low or minimize it or eliminate it if that's possible, but any other advice for them to implement in their hiring practices that come to mind that you might not have already mentioned?
You know, I have a couple that are specifically geared at cutting against unconscious bias in the hiring process. So, and some of them start from the very beginning. For example, consider how the wording of job descriptions might unintentionally attract only certain types of candidates. For example, there are a number of technology companies out there right now that if you give them your standard job description, they'll tell you whether it's a male-oriented or a female-oriented description based on the use of power words versus collaborative words and that sort of thing. So that if, for example, you're a female-dominated firm and you want to make sure that you're attracting all candidates, not just females, you'd want to make sure you have a very neutrally worded job description. The same as if you're a tech company that is 75% men and you wanted to make sure you're attracting both female and male candidates, you want to make sure yours is a neutrally worded job description so that you're not inadvertently turning away any female candidates who, you know, you would welcome to help diversify the workplace. So that's one example. Another big one that I'm seeing many companies consider right now is the possibility of blind resume screening, so that there are a number of studies in the workplace that look at workplace behavior right now that show that there is unconscious bias in the review of resumes, so that there's a study that shows that if individuals are given resumes that are the same, but one happens to be a female name and one's a male name, the vast majority of the time, the male employee will be deemed to be more hireable and will be given a higher starting salary. There are other studies that show that if similar resumes are distributed and half of them are typically black-sounding names and others are typically white-sounding names, that the black-sounding names resumes will need to distribute 50% more resumes in order to get the same number of callbacks. So because of those studies and statistics and what that really means in terms of unconscious biases that are at play, many employers are going to the screening and converting it to a blind resume screening so that they don't make decisions unintentionally based on somebody's sex or based on somebody's race.
You would think that in 2016 we wouldn't have to worry about that, but you're right. I think it's still part of the unconscious human nature of people. You're right. So I think that's more good advice in this subject, in this broadcast. No one wants to think of the downside of not proactively addressing things that could happen when it comes to not only unconscious bias, but cognitive bias. Can you give just one example or two of some of the downsides that you've seen your customers experience by not, you know, thinking through this and trying to mitigate this up front?
I think the biggest downside is just that if you allow unconscious bias to really control the interview process in any way, you won't get the most qualified candidate for the job. And that's why even though Top Grading was written as a book to try to get the most qualified candidates into the seats and help employers put structures in place to do that, one of the perhaps unintended results is that it also cuts against the unconscious bias, which might get the wrong candidate into the seat.
Right. Okay. So we're almost at the end of our broadcast. I know that Shift HR is a leader in compliance training for your customers that are desiring to help transform their organizations from not only a culture standpoint, but a good business practice standpoint. Do you want to just give a short overview of the type of training that you offer that can help our listeners out there and the clients and the organizations that they're part of?
From an unconscious bias awareness standpoint, Shift offers an online training that really raises unconscious bias awareness amongst learners and helps them put strategies in place to neutralize that unconscious bias. As it relates to Top Grading and that process, Shift actually engaged Rachel to help put in place interview questions and structures and strategies so that we make sure we're not only providing the training to employers, but we're really taking the advice that we seek to roll out to employers. And Laura, Rachel, and I are both going to be presenting on a webinar in January on the joint subject of Top Grading and getting the right person into the right seats and avoiding unconscious bias along the way. And for anybody who's interested, they could go to getshifthr.com, and they'll will be able to follow the posted dates for the upcoming webinar on the subject.
And also, when you guys have the details of that webinar, let me know, and I'll post it as one of the comments to this broadcast, because I have to say to our listeners out there, I think this episode was filled with so much great advice that I would make a request of you. Please forward this to anybody that you know in a leadership role, human resources role, that could really benefit this, because I think Rachel and Catherine were both very generous, and I thank you both for that, for your good advice and your good strategies and your good the good tips that you gave everyone today. So to our listeners, please take advantage of it, forward it to whoever you think might benefit from it. And if you want to get in touch with Catherine or Rachel, Catherine and Rachel, what are the best ways that folks can reach out to you directly?
For me, it's getshifthr.com.
Perfect.
That was Catherine. And for Rachel, if you go to the nfclegal.com site, you can access my information, my email, and my phone number.
Okay, great. And also for our listeners, you can also reach out to me. I'd be happy to put you in touch with Catherine and Rachel and Shift HR, great organization, great New Jersey women-owned company that's really, I think, on the move. So thank you guys so much for your time today. I know we went a little over, but again, I think the information was great, and I think our listeners are going to think it's extremely valuable, the time they spent with us today.
Thank you.
Guys have a great day.
Have a wonderful day. A wonderful day and a good beginning, good start to November.
Take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.